realizing that you are God and there is none like you. And Lord, as we have just lifted up our voices in song and praise to you, we ask, Lord, that you truly do lead us. Lord, we know that's what you want to do. We pray that we will give you ear and follow your leadership in our lives. Help us today, Father, as we look into your word, and that in every aspect of what we do and in every aspect of our worship, that we might truly find it to be pleasing in your sight. Lord, we do pray that that as you lead us, we will hear you, and that we will be courageous enough to act upon what you show us as we continue to follow you this day. So bless our time, Lord. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning. I trust that you are doing well today, and you dodged the few snowflakes that we had. Hopefully nobody went out and bought the store out or anything, and we live for another day. Without the snow on the ground, but I guess it is pretty to see, and it's fun to watch people get excited, because a lot of us came from where there really is snow, so it's kind of fun to watch those who just see these few flakes, and you're kind of like, what's going on here? But at any rate, it's a good day, and the Lord knows exactly what we need. One day you can be wearing short sleeves. The next day you could be wearing a parka. The next day it could be your life preserver. And the next day a winter coat. Who knows what tomorrow holds, but it's exciting to live in North Carolina. Amen. Yeah, if you're visiting with us today for the first time, or it's been a long time since you've had an opportunity to be with us, please take a moment and fill out one of those guest registrations that you see located in your bulletin. If you open that that first page, you should be able to see it right there. It does have a little perforation down it. If you if you can fold it there, you'll feel it break along that perforation. And if you could just fill that out, drop it in the offering plate as it comes around, that gives us a record of your attendance and also gives us an opportunity to share a little bit more with you about us here at Central Baptist. And we're so glad that you have seen fit to join us today to worship in spirit and in truth. If there's anything we can do to make your visit more pleasant with us, please don't hesitate to ask. Let us know. Grab one of the folks that you'll see around, one of our greeters, usher, myself, somebody that looks like they know what they're doing. We'll get you pointed in the right direction. If you got your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. You know, one of the things that that is a topic that we love to talk about. Now, when I say we, I a lot of times think about the staff. And if you've ever been around us, one of the things that that somebody has often said is that if you're around our staff long enough, somehow, regardless of what the conversation is going to be, it's going to turn to food. No matter what it is, it's going to turn to places that you're going to go out to eat. It's going to turn to some sort of a dining experience. But now I want us to think for just a moment, when we go someplace or if somebody asked us, now notice what I said. I said the dining experience. There is a difference between getting something to eat and a dining experience, right? You know, when you think about it, and somebody begins to ask you, they'll say, well, tell me, what is one of your favorite places? Or somebody will go on social media and say, I'm looking for recommendations for a place to eat or what have you. Well, what happens is if you start to look down there, you're going to find that there's at least two aspects when it comes down to having a place that we would recommend for somebody to go. First of all, it's the food. It's got to be good. Yeah, and what is the second one? Service. Not service. Atmosphere. It's the atmosphere. What's it like? But see, and then what happens is somebody will say, well, what kind of a place are you looking for? Are you going out for your anniversary? Are you looking for something fast for lunch or what have you? Because there'll be different recommendations based on what it is that you are looking for. But when you are looking for a dining experience, you are looking for something that has great food and a great atmosphere, right? Those are two things that you absolutely have to have. Now, you've probably been places before where the food was great, but the atmosphere was... And then you've been places where the food was... And the atmosphere was great. So what you're looking for is you're looking for that combination, you know, of the two of these things to be able to come into cohesion with one another to create a great experience. Now, over the past several weeks, one of the things that we have really been talking about is loving our church. And we have been talking about, you know, what it is that makes people want to or desire to be a part of the body. And we've talked about the fact that, it starts with us, that we've got to be able to get to know people. And I'm going to go ahead and just say this outright. You'll hear me say it again. It's not about the buildings. It's not even about the programs or anything else. It's about the relationships that we have with other people. We talked about the fact that we have those backyards that all of us have that have the fence around them that we don't want anybody else to see. And we talked about being vulnerable enough to be able to allow people into our backyards as well as us going into others' backyards. But we're in a really strange kind of unique situation that people don't seem to want to communicate with each other and have a relationship anymore. I mean, a lot of us in this room, how many of y'all grew up and knew your neighbors? You knew who they were. I mean, you went and you hung out with them. You'd have a cup of coffee. Whatever. You didn't have to have a reason. You just went over to see how they were doing. It's changed in this day and age, hasn't it? You can live 30 feet from somebody and not know who they are. We got a generation that wants to sit around and text message each other in the same room, and that's not the same thing as having a relationship with somebody and building that relationship and getting to know them. It's almost like what we've done is we've tried to keep people at least at arm's length, if not further. Well, folks, that's not what God's people were intended to be. God's people were intended to be those who will extend their arms this way, who will hug, who will go into those backyards. So how is it, when we begin to think about it, let me ask you this question. How is it that people come to a new life in the Lord? How is it that people hear and discover what is going on with God? Now, you're going to understand the analogy I started with in a minute. So before you think I'm going crazy and was talking about this restaurant thing, you're going to understand. It will tie together. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading at verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Father, we pray that you would truly take and make your word and your message very clear to each and every one of us today. Lord, I just pray that you will help us to understand what our position in the kingdom is. And Lord, what our position with one another truly is, that we might be everything on this earth that you want us to be. So Father, bless our time and speak to our hearts and use this messenger for your glory. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at those particular passages, it says that we are the salt of the earth. Now, I know that we've talked about this before. I'm a salt fan. How many of you all are salt fans out there? You're like me. If you put a salt shaker in front of me, it's over. Now, some of y'all are sitting there going, "That's bad for you. That's going to make you, retain water, and it's going to make heart problems." Hey, here's the deal. Mine's not so much about the fact that I'm sitting here thinking it's bad for me, but let me ask this question. What's the first thing that happens when somebody slides a plate of bland food in front of you? You salt it. Why? Because you like bad health? What does salt do? It brings flavor. It makes it taste better. I grew up wouldn't touch guacamole, but I like it now. But what happens is when it comes out there, usually I have to put like a half a salt shaker in it to make it taste just right. You got to get it. And it completely changes the taste of it. But salt is something that is designed to give flavor. Now, can you understand the analogy of what the Lord is saying? He's saying that you and I, as born-again believers, are the salt of the earth. We are to be the flavor. We're to add that pizzazz. Salt does something else. Many of y'all can remember back in the days where you were out there and if your family was like my grandma's family, they had to kill their own meat. They cured their own hogs. So what they do? They'd kill a hog and hang it out in the house out there, or the pack house. And what would they do? They would salt it. Why? Because it needed flavor? It's a preservative as well. So do you understand that when the Lord says that you and I are salt, there's more to it than just flavor. We're also a preservative. We're the ones that are supposed to be out there living in such a fashion that people see our life and they say, you know what? The Lord really has some flavor. Living for the Lord is really good. Not only that, it's a preservative. You know what? We're here 2,000 plus years after Christ still talking about it because there were people that went before us that were salt and light. Yeah, and when you begin to think about that, that it adds that flavor. See, our presence is necessary as God's means of influencing the world for good. Without us, without somebody, you know, in our lives that cared enough about us, that shared the Lord Jesus with us, we wouldn't be here today, would we? Now, a lot of people sit back and say, well, you know, yes, but I was there all the time and there was no way. It just kind of stuck because I was always in church. Listen, folks, we're in a generation that A, people don't know Jesus. B, they don't go to church anymore. C, when they go to church, they don't want to go to church except one time a week and give the Lord 30 minutes. D, they don't want to participate. So if we're going to remain and be what it is that God wants us to be, you and I are going to have to be the salt and the light in people's lives, in our sphere of influence, and where God has placed us. And you know what? He's placed us right here. He has brought us. See, do you understand that church membership is an important thing? It's not just so we can put you on a paper. It's not so somebody can try to make you feel guilty. It's not even a commitment to us as a staff or to your brothers and sisters. It is a commitment to God that you're saying, I know this is where you've placed me. This is where you want me to use my talents and abilities. But we've also talked about the fact that it goes beyond the walls of our own church. But he said this, he said, you that know Jesus, you are the salt of the earth. And he also said this. He also said that we were the light of the world. Yeah, I think back to what it was like in Jesus' day. That what happened was they had these oil lamps and then they had olive oil in it, but they were a wick type lamp. You have to understand they didn't have full windows in that day, and a lot of those places were built in such a fashion that it was dark. So even inside on a dark structure that maybe didn't have a whole lot of windows in it. It was one of those deals where they would light up one of these lamps. Well, just a little wick lamp, kind of hard to see. But one of the things, and it still holds true today, that if you want it to cast light so you can see better, you put it on a lampstand. You put it up so that it provides light for all the world to see, for anybody in that room to see. Have you ever noticed that a lot of people aren't sitting there walking around like this, trying to find their way through? It defeats the whole purpose. Instead, even if you're holding the torch, going through the cave, it's like this, so that you can add light, so that people can see, so that you can see, or whatever may happen. See, lamps are most effective when they're put on a lampstand. Did you get that? Are you starting to pick it up for all the world to see? So Jesus said, not only are we salt, but we are light. We are supposed to shine forth light in a darkened world. See, light removes darkness. And that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. Darkness runs in the presence of light. And Satan wants us to be in that darkened world. See, as salt and light, we bring taste and atmosphere. Are you hooking it together now? Remember talking about your dining experience? As salt and light, you and I, God's people, bring atmosphere. Bring an experience to those that are around us. We bring a taste and the atmosphere of Jesus' kingdom to our world when people see us. So if food and atmosphere equals an experience, then, you know, the experience of the kingdom comes from His followers. That's you and I. So you realize why it is so important that we be what it is that the Lord wants us to be and needs for us to be in this world, because people are looking at us. And much like that dining experience, when people come in and have contacts and touches, not only in our lives, also in our church, they make a determination on what it is that they see. Was the food good? And was the experience a good one? Was the atmosphere good? See, if the food's good and the atmosphere's good, guess what happens? They come back. But let me make you a promise. If the food's not good and the atmosphere is horrible, you won't see them again, will you? Jesus right here is using a simple metaphor to tell us as His church what we are supposed to be in the world. We are supposed to be salt and light. He is saying we are supposed to be creating an experience for other people to see. When other people view our experience, do they sit back and say, hey, I want what Judy's got. I want what Kelly has. Or do they look back and say, I certainly don't want what Mike wants. The atmosphere wasn't good. The service was terrible. It took forever to get seated because let me promise you this. All they have to see is one little thing and then we become critical, don't we? If the server doesn't get to you in the right amount of time, all of a sudden you get in critical mode, don't you? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I have never waited this long for some service. Ma'am, come here. Nobody's taken our order yet. Or if there's somebody new. Listen, we know. See what we do? We get uptight. All of us do it, including me. But we don't know what's going on the other side of that. We don't know how many people short they are. We don't know that this is the kid's first day waiting tables. We don't understand any of that. But we become real critical, folks. People do that in the church as well. But it's not just about the church, because the church is not, as we've been talking about, the building. The church is God's people. So they don't critique the building. They don't critique the program. You know what they critique? You and me. So what sort of experience are they having when they come into our presence? Are we being salt and light as the Lord anticipated for us to do and commands us to do? You know, it really amazes me when we think about what all God has entrusted us with. If you go back to the book of Genesis, He said this. It said, let man rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the skies, and over the cattle, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God said man has dominion over that. See, we're to bring the taste, we're to bring the light, we're to bring Jesus, and we're to bring community, and bring that experience in such a way that when people see it, they want God. They want repentance. They want what we have. They want that community. They want that family. Because family's where you're loved or should be. Family's where you're accepted or should be. Family is where you mess up and they still love you. They don't condone your mess up. This is another sermon for another day, but I've got to say this. We have to still remember that folks, we all mess up, don't we? The Word of God says we've all sinned and come short. Nobody in here is perfect. We have to be very careful about being judgmental towards other people. And we also have to be very careful how we treat those other people. You can, read my lips. Y'all stay with me. You can still love somebody and not approve of the sin in their life, period. We got that? We need to do a whole series on that because this world doesn't seem to believe that anymore. It doesn't. But we can. We can still love people even though we don't agree with the sin or we don't agree with what is going on. And by the way, when we do that, guess what we're doing? We're salting and we're lighting. Wait a minute. Salt, light. That's what it was when we were little, remember? This little light of mine, y'all remember that? I'm going to let it shine. That was your life. So we're to salt and light. We're to bring the whole experience of Christ, not just in here, but wherever we go. And that's, let me kind of plow forward because I'm running out of time. But see, folks, when we intentionally want to love one another, we intentionally use the gifting and the abilities that God has given us, and we come together. That's exactly what we're doing. We're salting and we're lighting the people around us. We're salting and lighting the world. So let me give you a couple of things. Yeah, so people would ask the question, how do I bring that experience? Well, first of all, people will experience Jesus in community when we are living its values. Now, let me give you something here. For the sake of time, I want to encourage you to read that whole chapter sometime today. But Matthew 5, probably the heading over that in your Bible, if you have headings, what does it say? The Sermon on the Mount, which includes what? The Beatitudes. Guess what those Beatitudes are? Values. Now, here's what we have to understand. That was not just a prelim. That wasn't just a bonus before the real sermon started or anything like that. No, he was defining and he was outlining what these things are. The Beatitudes are the values of the kingdom. And in verses 11 and 12, those are the promises that he gives us. And then in verses 13 through 16, it's the charge of the call of what he gives us to do. The salt and the life metaphor comes out of the Beatitudes. He's saying, these are the things that you do to be salt. These are the things that you do to be light. You get it? Those things are hooked together. They're not just completely different. So seasoning and shining isn't only about the message that we declare with our lips. Salting and lighting is not just standing up here and preaching it or being in a class and teaching it or picking it up. Here's what it is. It's how we live. It's what our life expresses, because what we really believe dictates how we live, doesn't it? If you go out, if you come in and praise Jesus on Sunday and then go out and live like literal hell the rest of the week, people see that. And you know what that means? What that means is people sit back and say, then this isn't really true to your heart. That's not really your worldview. You're a poser. All you're doing is you're professing that you know him, but you don't really know him. Because listen, let me promise you this. Even an unsaved heathen person knows how a Christian should live. And most of us at some point in our life have been called out on it in some way, shape, form, or fashion. We are to be salt and we are to be light. And it's not just in what we say, it is our unspoken testimony as well. How do we live? What shows forth in our life? Yeah, this is an emphasis on our lifestyle. How many of y'all have ever heard the term lifestyle evangelism? You know what that meant? That means that you need to be living it so other people see it in your life. And that is exactly what the Lord was trying to teach us when he said that we were to be salt and light. He says you can't just come in and go through the motions. That's not what changes people. That's not what people see that makes them desire. That's not the experience they want. They don't want the facade. They want the real deal. So for us to live our beliefs in front of them, in the workplace, at school, in the neighborhood, wherever we go, that is what makes the difference. And by the way, last time I checked, that's not in the confines of these walls, is it? It's what goes on outside. Emphasis on lifestyle. See, being salt and light is about the message that we declare with our actions. How we react. What we do. And everything that's in between that. You can't separate message from lifestyle. This is about, you know, who we are and how we are. That's what it's about. So when people see who we are and how we are, is that something that they desire to want to be a part of? Now, does that mean that we're not going to make mistakes? No, we're going to make mistakes along the way. And some of us have actually had somebody that knows us and loves us really well look at us before and say, well, I'll tell you one thing, that's not a very Christian attitude. How many of y'all have ever had somebody stick you with that one? Rest of y'all ain't living right. That's not... Christians don't act that way. Christians don't react that way. And it made us mad, and you probably didn't want to raise your hand because you knew they were right. Salt and light. That's what he says we're supposed to be. So you can't separate the message from the lifestyle. The values, we're talking about the Beatitudes, the values that are in you as you live out the kingdom is what brings flavor to a bland and stinking world. You know, when life hands you that plate and you take a bite and you're like, that's the biggest nothing tasting thing I ever had in my life. You reach for the salt. and you salt it down. Then you're like, oh, yeah. Got to have some salt on them green beans. Got to have some salt on them tomatoes and cucumbers. Yeah, completely different taste, isn't it? I mean, I can eat a straight up tomato, but even in Cuba, I can find me some sea salt and spice that bad boy up. See, you and I are supposed to be that for the kingdom. Are we doing that? The values that are in you. Yeah, as you live out the kingdom is what brings not only the salt, but also the light to the world. And people will experience the kingdom when you and I are truly living those values. Okay? So let me give you this. See, we live, I gave you at one point, which was the fact that we have to experience Jesus' community, or we will when we're essentially living its values or living the Word of God. That's nothing new to us. But also when we live the value of Jesus in community in our daily and ordinary lives. It's not just about how you are when you come here. You know, one of the things that I've seen, and some of you have seen it before, but I still remember when I was in Lynchburg and I had to be at a place and it wasn't really a picket or anything that was going on or that was taking place, but it was in a bad area of town. There'd been a lot of violence. And so what happened was the churches decided that they were going to go make a difference. So they got out there and they had all these posters that were saying repent and all these different things, and they were just going after people, man. They were sitting there like, you're going to hell. And you, how many of y'all seen people like that before? Yeah. I mean, they're just like all up in your face. Now here's what I say. Was the message that they were trying to communicate accurate? Now understand, the message was accurate. You either repent or you spend eternity in hell. But the method was all wrong. See, when I looked around and saw, I didn't see anybody who went by and said, you know what? Maybe I do need Jesus. I didn't see anybody who went by saying, yeah, I'm seeking Jesus. Matter of fact, I saw people run from them. And the reason why was because what was going on was it was being crammed down their throat. You can't do that in the world that you live in. Yeah, there is this thing called tact. You know, there was truth to the message. For sure. But because it was correct, didn't make it effective. You have to find the ways to be able to make it effective without changing. How are you to be salt? How are you to be light? You know, there was truth, absolutely, in the message. Now let me give you an opposite sort of thing, something that was effective, that was really weird that happened to me probably around the first part of the year. I had stopped to get a cup of coffee. And when I stopped to get that cup of coffee, I looked, you know, I was getting ready to get out of the car, and a couple places down, there was this lady just sobbing big time. I mean, she was sobbing almost uncontrollably. And I thought, something's not right there. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go over just to see if she's okay. Well, before I could do that, there was another lady who went over there and just kind of tapped on a window, and I saw them have an exchange, and you know, and then I saw this lady just hug this woman. I had no idea the relationship between the two of them or anything else. Well, so what did I do? I did what most of us do. I just sat in the car and be a nosy and watch. So after they spent some time together, the lady in the car got up. She walked into, you know, one of the restaurants, and then this other lady that came to the aid walked into the coffee shop I was going in. So you know what I did? You know, I went in there and I said, "Hey, look, you know, I saw what was going on out there," and I said, "You know what?" I said, "I really appreciated how you went over there and how you had a chance to kind of console that lady." I said, "You know what?" I said, "I could see that it brought relief to her." And she's like, "Oh, well, that was nothing." I said, "Were y'all friends?" She said, "No, I just met her before. We were just an acquaintance because I've eaten in the restaurant down there. But I just saw she was hurting. And I just wanted to see if there was something that I could do." I said, "You know what? That is living the salt and living the light." Well, later on, I asked her. I went back by and I had asked her. But I asked her if she'd had a chance to talk to this lady and maybe build that relationship. And she said, "Oh, yes, we're really, really good friends." And she said, in fact, and I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, yes, I am. And I said, you know, everything pointed to the fact that that's what it was like. And she said, yeah. She said, as a matter of fact, we started meeting. And she laughed and said, sometimes for coffee and sometimes for Asian food. Because each of them worked at the different places. But here's what she said that I thought was the coolest thing in the world. She said, I met with her several times after that. And she said, I had a chance to lead her to Jesus. That wasn't cramming something down somebody's throat. That wasn't choking and binding. She was there. She lived what she believed. And it made a difference in this lady's life to the point that she gave her life to Jesus Christ. A barista and a waitress. And they're best of friends now. Not only are they best of friends, they'll be best of friends in heaven for all of eternity. See, that is what being salt and light is really all about. And that didn't have anything to do with a program in the church, did it? It didn't have anything to do with what was going on there. See, what we do out there actually reaches in. And by the way, it's not a bad thing. This is where we come to maintain our saltiness and to maintain our lightness, as they would say. This is what we do. This is where iron sharpens iron. But it's in the trivial day-to-day stuff. It's at the office. It's at the gym. It's in the neighborhood where you experience Jesus. In that trivial day-to-day stuff is where we need to be the salt and the light. That is where you can make the biggest difference in the world. And I hope that if we've learned anything over these past several weeks, that we've learned that loving our church isn't about the building or the carpet or the programs. But what it's about is relationships. And folks, that's something we need to work on in our own body. We need to learn to be able to fellowship one with another. We need to learn to be able to come together, even when there's differences. We need to learn to fellowship. See, Wednesday night we started that meal. It's all right, have a cup of coffee with somebody. You might not agree with everything. Listen, there's a whole lot of stuff I'd like to do that at my age I can't do anymore. But we usually find those things out the hard way, don't we? Yeah, when we're in traction for a couple weeks or what have you. But listen, we need to love each other like God said we're supposed to be salt and to be light. And if we can't do it in here, we certainly can't do it outside. We need to take those opportunities to be able to learn about each other, to get to know each other, to love each other unconditionally in the way that the Master did. What is it that we, a few weeks ago, started off in that passage over in John chapter 13? It says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. What is it that people see? Are we salting? Are we lighting as we should be? That's the question. I want you this week to think about ways that you can make connections with people. Not just here, in your community, in your workplace, to make connections with them. And then I want to ask this question as we get ready to go today. And I want you to think about what the answer might be. See, if our church today, right here, ceased to exist, would it hurt our neighborhood? Would they mourn the fact that we were gone? Or would they say, no, we need you here? Are we making a difference where we are? Or would our neighborhood even notice if we just dried up and blew away? You see, if they wouldn't even notice, then we have failed. We have failed miserably.